You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 378, The Universal Project, part 3, Forgotten Foe. And welcome to episode 378 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I am Paul French, and today I hope this is a cold. Or not a cold. Wait. I hope this is something that isn't something else. Yeah, I've been feeling a little under the weather today, and I'm going to chalk it down to having a busy weekend and hope that it's just allergies and not a cold. Because allergies will go away.
True. Colds do,
well,
too.
Well, technically speaking, yes. Yes, you're right. You're right. But, you know.
But
I don't want other symptoms. And usually when I have a bad little allergy bout, it... Uh-huh. Well, but then, that said, you know, we've got a little cold snap coming around here. So it will probably...
coming around there.
Well, because every time I think that the frost has killed all the stuff, all the spores, it warms up again.
Uh-huh.
And we were just getting rid of all that pesky snow, and it started again. So, So there we go. All good. All good.
all good.
Yeah, I hate looking forward to the cold, but it's times like this that I do.
Yeah, I understand that.
Over to you, sir.
And I am Darren Noel, and I am. I am bacon maple donut lad because I have gorged on bacon maple donuts today.
Oh my.
They're so good and tasty. Yeah.
We'll make a Canadian out of you yet.
Exactly.
No, please, I'm already part Canadian. I was ready for that. I was just like, oh, these look so good. And it's a local bakery nearby, and I'm like, I like to support the local folks because
absolutely.
It keeps storefronts open. So I'm like, okay, well, let's go see what they got. And I'm like, ooh, look. And I decided to buy 4, and I had 2. for dinner, and
nice.
So I've kind of got my sugar rush at the same time as I got my bacon rush. So yay, meat candy, yum!
That's not the first time you've said that word this weekend. Admit it.
It is not. It is absolutely not. Although the meat has shrunk because it is now cold down here in Atlanta, and they are calling for the white stuff in a few weeks. So I hope
cocaine.
Yes, that. Say hello to my little friend. No, hopefully we'll get some snow and or ice because our mosquito population was off the chart last year. And it is always good to kind of kill the baby mosquitoes at least a little bit so that we can cut down their population.
Because nothing like a good infanticide to make you feel better.
Oh, it does. It makes me feel so warm on the inside. You have no idea, sir. No idea. And who is this mysterious voice from the past?
Hello. I am Scott Coles. And tonight, I am Birthday Buddy Lad.
Woo!
I raced back from KW in just ahead of this snowstorm.
Oof.
From a birthday screening of They Live at the Apollo Theater.
No.
Downtown Kitchener.
Did you wear your sunglasses? Tell me you wore your sunglasses.
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
My good friend, sci-fi writer Maggie Clark, and I share a birthday, so she put together, it was her 30th, so she put together this thing, and it was awesome. We had a great time.
Oh, sweet.
It was fun introducing my brother's fiance to it because she had never seen it. She's very sheltered. I don't know that she enjoyed it as much as we did.
Well,
but, you know, different strokes, different folks, all that jazz.
All that jazz.
All that jazz.
I'll take her to go see Chicago next. It'll be fine.
Oh, I'm sure she's seen Chicago.
Okay.
She's a girl after all.
Oh, please. Don't stereotype. So wrong of you. So very wrong of you.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm not saying I haven't seen Chicago. I'm just saying.
You've seen Chicago. Stop it.
Oh, yeah, totally. Chicago's hilarious.
Yeah, it's got its moments. True. got its moments. So, like, Polly, what are we doing tonight?
Trying to sing?
No, I'm not singing. No one wants to hear that.
No, you were talking about hilarious moments. I was talking about Renee Zellweger trying to sing.
Well,
Catherine Zeta-Jones wasn't bad, and of course,
I'll
hail the queen. So you know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mama song put all the rest of them to shame. So there you go.
Well, yeah.
And actually, Gear was better than I thought he was going to be. So, you know, better than Brosnan and Mamma Mia. So, hey.
Wow.
Forget to hit the bar low.
Hey, you know what? It's like I say, my superhero movies, it's an okay Superman movie or a superhero movie if it's better than Howard the Duck.
Wow.
That's the bar I have.
That's a pretty low bar.
Howard the Duck bar, okay?
Really, what's under that? Green Lantern, maybe?
Catwoman.
Yeah.
Oh, and Catwoman, Elektra.
Catwoman's under that. Elektra,
yeah, a few.
Is kind of tied for that. The,
Because I enjoyed Howard the Duck, at least. It was fun. At least it was funny.
It was entertaining, but it was horribly painful in places. It was horribly dated in the 80s in places. So, yeah. And Superman 4, A Quest for Peace, is under that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
There are a couple who don't reach the Howard the Duck bar. So, yeah. Wow. The Howard
They're
the Duck
at least
made me laugh intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to unintentionally.
Yeah. You know.
So, there's that.
So you're listening to Musical Cast.
I know. Take a drink.
Oh, hey, take a drink. Don't mind if I do.
Like, we gotta ask.
Exactly.
Added bonus. I'm drinking out of my orange Monty Python cup the kids gave me for Christmas.
Oh, take your what? Drink. Take another drink.
My orange Monty Python cup.
Take a drink. Woohoo!
Good grief.
It's not a parrot. Cup is it? It's not shaped like dead.
No, it's just orange and it's got a bunch of Monty Python quotes on it.
Ah, fair enough. Fair
That's
enough.
Awesome. All right. Legion News. There's an interesting article that was on, was it CBR, Darren?
Yeah, it was on CBR and it was, let me pull it up real quick.
Yeah.
It was doop doop doop. I want to get the byline here. I forget where they put them on CBR. So forgive me. I'm trying to find your name, and I don't see if I can find it. And I can't. Oh, Tom Bondurant, contributing writer for CBR, about how DC has suggestions basically for making DC want to do Legion again and letting them thrive. And I think it's a really interesting article.
Yeah.
There's a lot about Legion that really we all miss and love. But I also think that DC's really got to figure it out when they do it again. But he is right about one thing, and that is that it's been a hot minute since Legion appeared in a book. And I know we've gotten some villains recently in the those at Telos.
Yeah, but those aren't like Legionnaires. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
we're getting like a little breadcrumbs to travel like and follow, I guess. But for me, I want my heroes back. So
absolutely,
we'll just have to see. But I do think that they need to take their time with it, and they need to do it "quote unquote right," whatever that is, you know. You got me on that. But I think with the success of Star Wars and Star Trek in the movie theater and Guardians of the Galaxy, they could certainly give it a go now.
Yeah.
For another Legion series, since Outer Space Adventure is really hot right now.
Yeah, I heard something about that. There was another movie that came out recently.
Oh, another one?
With people in space and stuff.
Oh, wow.
It's escaping me.
Is it?
Yeah, something to do with, and it's sort of a legacy series as well.
Yes. Sigh. We could just say the Legion.
The Martian?
Yeah.
Yes. Comedy of the year.
What the hell's up with that? Anyway, the Golden Globes, that makes no sense anyway. So, but no, yeah. I think now would be a good time for DC to seriously consider revamping the Legion concept for, you know, the market and see what it would do. I do believe it does need to be tied to Superman in some way. It needs that sales boost of
it needs some sort of tie to a piece of the rest of the DC universe. Otherwise, people it literally and figuratively marginalizes them. And that's kind of one of the issues that they've had. And the interesting thing is, like, even when you look at a series like Legion Lost, which for much of its run was pretty awful, but, you know, at least started out kind of decent.
It started out decent, yeah. And it had some really good potential and went nowhere quickly thanks to that required crossover.
And what's interesting is that required crossover was kind of the, you know, that's part of the what they need to do is to sort of have that connection. It just needs
needs to be good.
Yeah.
It needs to be good. That I think we all were in agreement that the culling was Omen and Prophet was better.
Yeah, that's what killed it, for sure.
Well, it's the difference between having here's the crossover that's happening line wide. Do with it what you want, but make sure you at least reference it in some way.
Yeah.
That gives the writer the opportunity to make a story, his own story, and just sort of throw in as much or as little. I mean, if that particular crossover isn't, you know, pumping his nads or whatever, then he can just sort of, hey, Red Skies, woo, you know?
Yeah.
And if he's really into it, then he can sort of invest more time in it.
Yeah, and I mean, the problem was the color, the culling wasn't even line-wide. That was the thing, is that it was, you know, it was sort of building on a story that was happening in the Teen Titans book, and
It was completely editorial.
Yeah,
yeah,
editorially driven rather than, you know, we have a great story to tell, but it's going to take two books to do it.
Yeah,
it wasn't an organic crossover. That was my
there was no reason for, you know, you can understand why the Titans were involved in it. You can understand why pretend Superboy was involved in it. Mm-hmm. You know, those made sense because it tied into their origin stories. But as for why the Time Lost Legionnaires were in there, there was no sort of, yeah. You know, it was definitely something that sort of got tacked on. It's like, maybe it ties into who brought them to the past.
Maybe. Somehow.
You know, it's weak. It's weak.
It was extremely weak.
If it had ended up with pretend Superboy, you know, joining up with the Legion or something again, that might have been something.
That would have at least been some kind of an interesting tie-in to have
a reason for them to be there.
Again,
yeah,
But that certainly did not happen.
No,
and I think there are a few things about the Legion Lost concept, like, well, we can't. What was preventing them from getting a hold of any of the heroes to help them get back home? Oh, that virus thing.
Yeah.
And then that was dropped within 4 issues.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
that's
it's
right.
Like, well, we've been in Minneapolis's mall, so yeah. Okay, I guess we have a big, huge pandemic on our hands now. Might as well call Superman and say, hey, can you send us back and you fix this? That'd be great. Thanks. There was really no reason for them to be in the 21st century after they dealt with the bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And another part that comes up all the time is the whole, you know, to reboot or not to reboot. And the idea of having to either explain, and actually the article, he talked about how he came, his earliest Legion books were actually 5 years later, where it was far deep in the, Here they are in a dystopian future, which, as he says, alienated a lot of the longtime fans. And then for the new people, they said, "We're gonna do a lot of deep track callbacks to characters in the series." So it kind of alienated both sides of that equation to a certain degree. As much as I love it, but I was someone who wasn't alienated by the darkness of it, and also really dug on the deep track stuff. So, you know, but it's a tight wire. It's a tight rope.
One of the cool things now is Legion has been around for so long that you could actually pull like a Justice League, Justice Society deal where you have like the old school Legion being still around, but not really doing as much maybe.
Yeah.
And you can introduce all new characters, and then you're, you know, with ties to previous characters or whatever, you know.
But it has that
all built in, so I don't know why it's so hard to make it work.
I think they do have to do something of a reboot for the concept. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what it's going to be.
And I guess my answer to the people who always say, no, I want it to still have all that history, is like, how did that work out for you on the last series?
Yeah,
you know, they left all that intact, and it didn't help things.
They had arguably the best writer ever on the series.
For it, yeah, exactly.
I think it does need new eyes, but I want to see a committed writer artist team. I think a committed writer.
Yeah.
Well,
the last series really suffered from the art changing every other page towards the end of the series.
Well, yeah.
To be fair, by issue 5.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. If you get a couple artists doing, you know, alternating arcs or something like that, that'd be okay.
And I think that would be a great way to do it.
What you really want is like a James Robinson and Tony Starman action.
Ooh.
Where you've got one guy doing it all, but then every once in a while he gets a break with like a Times Past issue or whatever, or, you know.
Yeah.
Something else.
Yep. I know it's been 2 years. It's going to be 3 in a hot minute, I'm sure. But they can't let that property just keep sitting there. I mean, it was one of their best sellers. So they're going to have to do something with Legion to keep it alive. Something. Of course, they could just say, just 5 more Batman titles. That's fine.
Yeah.
Well, they should just put Batman in the Legion then.
Yeah. Put a Batman character in the Legion, and there you go.
Yeah.
Batman and the Legion of Superheroes. Why not?
See, that's what they needed. It's like in the late 70s, early 80s, when every Marvel book you had Spider-Man pop by issue 3 or 4.
Issue 2 or 3.
Yeah, exactly.
Guest starring your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Shocking. Issue what was that, 4? Yeah, okay. Sure, New Warriors, whatever.
Yeah, he'd stop in and say, hey, great costume, kid. And away he'd go.
Swing by. Yeah. On his way to get Electro again. So, you know.
They should just have, like, Batman 66 time travel to the future. And then he could hang out there for a while.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
All those Robins, I can't tell them apart.
Oh yeah, that's I've loved the Scott. Did you read the Batman 66 Green Hornet?
No, I have not yet. It's on my list.
You should dig it up on the app there. It's on there.
Yeah,
and you will love it.
I actually downloaded it to my phone already. I just haven't gotten around to reading it. So.
Yeah, I think you'll quite enjoy it. But you know, especially given Garmy Strong.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, but still
good article. More. Good article. You know, not to it's nice to see people actually still caring about Legion stuff. So that's nice.
Well, you know, getting that kind of discussion going keeps it in people's hearts and minds, right? And
and here we are like what, 6-5 months before con season kind of ramps up. So maybe we'll see something from DC this year. Maybe we won't, but hey, now's the time to start like saying, hey, when's Legion coming back?
Yeah.
It can be the new spoiler. So. the new Donna Troy, the new Cassie Kane, the new
Wally West,
yeah. You know, whatever. But it needs to be, if you're at a con and DC's there, you need to be asking that question if you're a Legion fan, for sure. What are the plans for Legion, if any? And if there aren't, then why not? You know, and I understand if it's like, well, we haven't received a pitch that we think is going to be solid enough. I want them to pick something that they are confident in that, you know, would work. Not just something because they need to put the Legion out there again.
So. And I get the feeling that right now what they're saying is, rather than saying we don't have the right pitch, is it doesn't sell.
Yeah.
We gave them two books, didn't sell.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, that's the... Oh.
I don't think they would have gotten the two books previously had they not been selling before. So I just think it was a matter of quality.
Yeah.
We've been over Legion Lost. It's just, it gets worse and worse every page you turn. So that was just, and I don't know if it was then, but mostly for me, it was the culling. Once you got over that, it came back again.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh God, this again. No, it wasn't good the first time. Thank you. It's like eating a sausage and pepper hoagie at 9 p.m. and then waking up burping at 12:30. No, not good. Not good. No.
This is a fine metaphor, sir.
Thank you. I try.
All right.
I've been eating donuts all day. What do you want from me? I'm craving a hoagie.
All right. So let's get into this issue.
All righty.
Legion of Superheroes, number 34, The Universal Project, Chapter 3. Excellent cover, once again, by Steve Lytle. Mm-hmm. We have in the sort of the series, the story banner, we have Dreamy kind of vamping it up a little.
Yep. Make it rain, baby. Make it rain.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. She is not subtle.
No.
And more importantly, we have Universo getting all dastardly villain with a whole pile of Kirby Crackle behind him. You know, that Kirby Crackle would be Wildfire. Because once again, his containment suit has a tear in it.
Oh.
Dope.
Yep. Take a drink, kids.
Take a drink. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right out there on the cover. And tell us, kind of gasping like a fish out of water, literally.
He doesn't have his little head thingy
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's a problem. Yeah. I love how they drew the blue there to say, hey, look, there's something missing on him.
Yeah. Do you see what's not here?
What? There's a problem. So.
Exactly. All right, so we get into the issue, and we open up on Naltor, richest of the so-called mystic worlds, and of course this would be Dream Girl's home planet, and they are visiting the High Seer,
Beren.
Yes, and Brainy thanks him for his hospitality, and he says he's glad. That Naltor is the first world they came upon after leaving the prison planet, and he says that it's been too long since he's seen Dreamy, and he said his aged eyes will settle for even an unfortunate reunion.
Aww.
And it's let's not call it unfortunate, merely brief. And he says, not so sure.
Yeah, I know something you don't know.
Yeah, you can't go back to Earth. So he says, during the weeks you were missing.
So weeks.
There it is. We get some confirmation on that.
Third party. Yay.
Yes. Third party confirmation. Excellent. He says how the Earth has become a very strange place, and they're kind of shocked that it's been weeks. Imra says, at least that long, Brainy. Couldn't you tell from your body?
I guess not.
Yeah.
Nah. You're all worked out and buff now. You haven't been in the multi-lab for hours on end.
Yeah, I'm still just trying to figure out the hairstyle on Dreamy, but... Well,
you know, conditioned. She had a conditioning treatment because her hair had been shampooed with mud previously, remember? So she had to go get that taken care of at the Naltor Supercuts or whatever.
The Super Guts. Yeah, that sounds like dreamy. Anyways, so so yeah, they're saying that they can't. It seems that they can't go home, and he says, you know, basically, yeah, we're going back. Saturn Girl, you know, tries to convince Dreamy to convince the High Seer to be honest. You know, she wants to talk to her husband and children, and he says, "All right, I'd hope to wait until you were more recovered, but you must know, Earth has closed off almost all communication. Yet we still get glimpses of what passes there." And he says, "One of which I should show you. I believe no Legionnaires are welcomed on Earth," and they show the headquarters being demolished. And he says, well, maybe not demolished, but certainly closed. So Saturn Girl is immediately pissed off. You know, she's like, how dare they, after all we've done for that planet? And you know, and it takes Cam to say, how about the others? And he says, we don't know why, and no Legionnaires have spoken out for or against the disbanding of your organization. And they note that it's Siobhan Aaron handling the shutdown. And Dreamy says, she's Element Lad's little science police pal. Do you suppose he went along with all this lunacy? Damn, little saucer of milk, girl? Not
much.
Well, you know, Dreamy and Element Lad had that leader,
yeah,
deputy leader fight thing. You know, yeah, I agree with the others that she's out of line here, but, you know. And she doesn't have the best basis on relationships right now.
Perhaps, perhaps, yeah. So, so got to get back to Earth. They say, you know, Naltor's not without, he says, no, it looks as, the way the word balloon is set up, it looks like it's coming from Saturn Girl, but, It, of course, is not.
It's not.
Yeah. It says, now Tor is not without influence. My debt to Nurinal's mother is great. I could gather support among the colony worlds, try to force Earth to account for her actions. Even the mother world cannot stand completely alone. And he says, shall I do this? And they say, no. So, you know, basically, yeah, they're going to figure it out. They're going to have to go back on their own the hard way. So on a world near Hycraeus, we see Tellus trapped in sort of a bubble, and you know, basically, yeah,
metal globe bubble trap here.
And he says, if I'm to die a Legionnaire, I must maintain control over the spheres to protect myself. I can still use them to break through this prison globe. And so he does that and manages to break through, but now he can't breathe. So Zemir has transported him off Hycraeus entirely to a desert world.
You know what this reminds me of? Those, speaking of Batman 66, those death traps at the end of Batman.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Same fish time, same fish channel. You have to tell us. But, you know.
Nearby, we have the White Witch getting the same treatment, saying that the heat is unbearable. She says, wherever Zemir has sent us, it can be no place on Hycraeus' surface. Even the lands there must be moister than this. And so she's trying to contract. She says, I'm Mysa, White Witch of Naltor, and I have the power to save myself within. I must banish the spells I was using to protect myself on Hycraeus. Forget all else, and weave an enchantment around me to guard my life. And so she does, but she's very tired, and we get a, yes, close your eyes, Legionnaire, and sleep, and when you wake, you'll be mine.
That whole sleeping sickness thing and the radiating lines of color on Mysa, like hypnosis, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Doop-a-doop-a-doop.
And nearby, Quizlet thinks that space warp is a very strange way to travel. Zemir has teleported him into a Dali painting.
Basically.
Yeah, he says, Quizlet finally gets a chance to be a big hero, arrange a great rescue. Yeah. Robot smashing wildfire. Quizlet does get chance. Ooh, boy. And he goes over to the robot and zaps him.
Well, he poop-a-doops into him.
Well, he does poop-a-doop, yes.
Poop-a-doop. Poop-a-doop. Like you do.
Every panel, poop-a-doop, poop-a-doop.
It's just funny.
Yeah, Quizlet has company inside robot. Wildfire? Yeah, Quizlet, what you... blasted machine sucked me right out of my containment suit.
Yeah, he did. Tasty. Yeah. The chrome off trailer hitch.
By the way, have you seen the new Jolly Rancher commercials? I'm watching a little TV this weekend, and their slogan is "Keep on sucking."
Good
just,
advice.
Just
sage,
saying.
Sage advice.
Good advice. They're Jolly Rancher. Good advice.
And they got the sea bear again, and there's a Krakoom. Take a drink.
Oh yeah, a drink.
Warping away, Zimir must be. Follow Quizlet Wildfire. Quizlet shows you how to take energies through Zimir's space warp. And so they go through, and we get again the hypnotic lines. He says, "Excellent, Zimir. They've followed you on schedule. Now they shall become my slaves."
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep.
All right. So cut to...
cut back to Naltor.
Yeah, so we're back on Naltor, and they're getting...
For people wondering, that Interlac there says Express.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's Nova Express.
Could be.
So only two ports of call before home. Not bad. It's not exactly the same as taking our own Mark IV. And it's hush. This is no time to feel comfortable, Dream Girl. We have to assume whoever's behind our kidnapping also is controlling Earth, and that means we may be entering hostile territory at any time.
Who wears short shorts? Yeah.
Brainy wears short shorts. All I want is pants, a decent pair of pants.
Long sleeves and short shorts. Way to go, Zap Brannigan. Jesus.
He says, yeah, so we're already in the telepathic circuit. Dream Girl, Saturn Girl linked us on the ramp, and we'll stay in disguise. That's Rainey's disguise.
That's right.
No one's going to mistake him for a Kaluan male gigolo, that's for sure.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So she gets herself a drink. Yeah.
Mm. Hello there.
Yeah, and...
vamp time. Lots of vamping for Dream Girl in this issue.
Oh, very much, yes. And so, C-3PO seems to be Brainy's waiter.
Or Mechanique from All-Star Squadron.
Yeah, it could be, yeah. So Dreamy's talking to this guy, Garax, who says how it was a delight to find such a beautiful woman on his journey, and says, I hope you'll be willing to see some of Nix Olympica's sights with me, too. And then it turns out Brainy's attracting too much attention. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, seriously, dude. You're getting it on with a robot. What's up with that?
Yeah, on the ship, you know, that can't be a good thing. So they check what's going on with the robot, and...
You're like, sir, excuse me, sir. Sir.
Could I ask what you're doing with that robot?
That's not your property, sir.
So Dreamy creates a diversion by causing a scene with this Garax guy. And so Brainy's relieved, and she says, you owe me one, Brainy. He was cute. Almost as cute as Tom. Aww. I miss him. I wish we'd been able to work it out. But he couldn't handle me, and I suppose neither could I.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Goodness.
Yes.
And you have to wonder if that was part of Universo's plan all the time. Get Dream Girl so distracted she couldn't use her powers to see what was coming.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah.
All that, hey, you should go out and have fun on the town, and then we'll get rid of Atmos, which will get rid of Starboy, which will get rid of that steady relationship and distract you more. You know, it's interesting to think about if that was part of it.
It would make a bit more sense for this sudden why the sudden change.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a guy who says that he has foreseen Cam changing shape in the next few minutes. He says, are you Derlin? And if so, I must see your papers. That is, as that is a quarantined race. And
racist.
Yeah.
I'll do it. Matt's not here.
Yeah.
He says, racist, racist.
I am clang-a-lang. Says, I'm a simple traveler from the colony world. I know nothing of this Derlin of which you speak. But, you know, it's the problem with Naltorians being able to see the future. And he says, Naltorians get visions of the future. Mine can only be correct if you are a Derlin, despite your protestations. He says, would you please accompany me to the security level, passenger? And he says, give it up, Cam. I can't get you out of this one. And so he says, okay. And he decides to finish the trip in a more compact form and, quote-unquote, disappears. Really, he just turns into a bug.
Buggy, buggy.
Yeah, exactly. So back on Earth, Siobhan and Element Lad are the picture of domestic bliss, making some pizza. It's an exotic ancient dessert called pizza.
Dessert pizza. Mm. Must be Hawaiian.
Like a Dairy Queen?
I guess. I don't know. Never had dessert pizza before. Sounds disturbing.
They used to have it at Pizza Hut years ago.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Pizza Hut. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. They had two different kinds. You could get it in apple or strawberry, and so it was basically like you took a piece of pizza dough, you put the pie filling on it, and then like a sort of a crumble
frosting or whatever
thing, like kind of like a crumble crust sort of thing over top of it, and then you ran it through the pizza oven to cook the dough basically and to warm up the rest of it, and it was quite popular. Yeah,
that sounds like a hot mess.
Oh yeah. Oh, it was disgusting. Oh, and then there was like a frosting that you would kind of drizzle on it. And to me, the problem with it was it just meant you had to have an extra knife at the cutting table. You had to have an extra board at the cutting table. It was all this extra gear that you had to have in a place that barely had enough room for the stuff you were already using. So he's not watching Moops Ball anymore. He seems to be watching some sort of...
What is he watching?
This is Moops Ball. This is
Moops Ball. Yeah, okay. It is Moops Ball. Which is odd for Jan. You never see him watching Moops Ball at all. That's
I don't think he's much of a sports ball guy.
Yeah, that's more of a Colossal Boy, Star Boy kind of activity, I think. Yeah.
So she says, you must be bored not having the Legion to run around with. And he goes, no, I'm very happy. Maybe I could use my powers to make you something pretty.
Aww.
And so he does. And then we get Zendak popping in on the holocall saying, very nice, but President Desai would like to see Element Lad. And Jan says, I'm always willing to help the government. And he said, good. Desai's got a bit of useful work for you.
Wow. Brainwash much?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
We have always been at war with Eurasia.
That's right. Step for Jan.
Yeah. So he says he's got to show up in the morning, and Officer Aaron, he says, I'll see you at roll call. And so they're going to watch another Moops Ball game.
Why not? Like, well, you do.
Why not? Exactly.
Good times, good times.
Yeah, so back out in space near Dominator's territory, there's some kazapping, which is close enough for me.
Are we drinking?
We're drinking.
Sorry,
oh, yeah.
I'm behind.
Mm-hmm. You say, okay, so what else are we accomplishing by taking the Dominator's blast? Ultra Boy says, not enough, Block, so let's bring the fight back to them. You stay here and keep them away from Ambassador Relnik's ship. And Mon-El and I will send them home. So, as usual, Block is confused.
Well, and this confused me too, honestly, because last issue, Relnik's ship fired on Block. And it looks like the action has picked up several panels before that happened to show what Mon-El and Ultra Boy are doing to the Dominators to get them to stop being posturing. And then it picks up with Relnik firing on Block.
Yeah.
In a few pages, and it's like, okay, that was weird for a transition. But
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
So they try taking out the sensors on them, and And we get the usual, I'm switching from this power to that power. And Mon-El saying, ever regret that you can't use your powers simultaneously like I can? It's like, wow, what a dick.
Unzip and measure, boys.
He says, nope, you were born that way. Me, I'm just a farm boy who got lucky and became one of the strongest legionnaires. I'll settle. So Relnik's ship has returned and is firing at Block, and he says, that's nuts, they're on our side. And he says, tell them, are you all right? And he says, fine, Mon-El, but I am bewildered again. Really, Block? Really? When yeah. aren't you bewildered?
It's his natural state of being.
Indeed, really. Indeed. He says, if we're not here to, if we are here to escort the ambassador, why has he, why has he ordered his vessel to, and there's some kind of crazy space warp.
We know what this is.
Yeah.
This is more of Zamir's handiwork.
Yeah, exactly. This will end up with them in the, you know, I'm surprised we didn't end up with, you know, the familiar motif by now of the, sort of pink spirals. But, anyway. Aboard the starship, they're flying by Saturn, and Imra's talking about how it's painful to be going past there, you know, and knowing how close they're getting to Earth, and for her to Garth and the kids, and she says, but not being sure why I can't get through to him, why he's not out looking for me. And she says, at least you have someone looking to worry about you. Mm. She says, you know, and you know they're either looking desperately for you or someone's physically preventing them. And she goes, if they're okay. And she says, and Dreamy says, I'm sure they are. We haven't exactly been friends over the years, I know, but it's not because I don't respect you. We simply don't have much in common outside the Legion. And she says, perhaps, but we have more in common than I thought, Mira. She says, I couldn't help learning a lot about you when I went into your mind to break those blocks. And there's no woman I'd rather have by my side at this fight.
And
girlfriend. Okay.
Well, yeah, but you got to remember, the Ice Queen just gave her a huge compliment there.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
I mean, that's definitely some respect there. So, and these are also the two women who, up to this point, were the only women leaders of the Legion.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have shared those boots, so to speak.
Right. So Brainy comes in and says, pardon me, ladies, but I believe everyone is strapping in now.
Oh, he said strap in, not strap
in,
on.
Right? In, that's right, in. Yes, yes.
Okay, in.
He says, may I help you find seats? And they say, thank you, I can help myself. Because, you know, we're in a moment of girl power, dude.
Yeah, I can find my seat. Thank you, male chauvinist pig.
So,
look, I just brushed off my thighs. I cleared your seat out for you.
Oh. Yeah, no, that seat's too dangerous for a girl. Thank you.
But Imra does remind her that, you know, we're trying to be incognito, so could you try and keep it that way?
Please and thank you.
Yeah, and
maybe button up that shirt? Jesus.
Well, they're distracting. She's using the mm-hmm. Power Girl method. Power Girl method is employed.
Yeah, so now Nura gets to the other question we've been discussing about, you know, who kidnapped the four of them. Well, we know who it was, but because, you know, it says it on the cover of each issue.
Thank you. It's not like Darkseid is hiding at the end of this issue. Though.
Exactly, exactly. There is
surprise, everybody.
There is a monster at the end of this book. Whatever you do, don't turn the page.
Don't turn the page, no!
I read that book every night.
That is going to be the tomorrow right there. When you can find it now.
So why only the four of us? And Brainy says that there's a galaxy full of people who could have done it. And usually, he says, I wait until the last page to have that. We're in a dark room and I reveal this is who we're facing. He says, so there's not enough data to start eliminating possibilities. And a bug starts going by, and she goes to swat it. And Cam says, hey, don't swat me, Dreamy. I don't have a vote on who yet, but the why is obvious. And he says,
it's on my cape.
And Brainy says, really, on what basis, Cam? And he goes, common characteristics. Someone must have wanted the four smartest Legionnaires out of the way. See, it's Brainy's ego, right? You know, he can readily admit that he's the smartest, but can't quite bring himself to admit that the others are in a similar league. Anyway, so he says, yeah, see you on landing. And Brainy says, when you think about it, he's perfectly right. It's the obvious link between the four of us. And Dreamy says, why, Brainy, dear, all these years you've loved me for my mind?
Wouldn't it be amusing if this is where that whole... where Mark Waid got the Dream Girl Brainiac 5 relationship for the 3 boot from this page right here.
Well, I think also they always seem sort of unlikely.
Yeah, very unlikely.
Yeah. So, passengers, your attention, please. Disembarking will begin now that we have landed. And they talked about the... sort of everyone, you know, thanks for cooperating with the custom formalities, especially with the added measures taken because of an unregistered Durlin aboard. And so, yeah, they've got these, it looks like some guys from Judge Dredd at the door wearing their Dredd. Yeah, exactly. The Dredd helmets and Mega City. Yeah. Mega City. Mm.
Mega City 1,
thank you, yes. So they got to be careful because they want to make sure that they're not going to get picked up. So, you know, they got to pull sort of a, these are not the droids you're looking for, but... So Cam pops down and turns into a Quadrex, which is a big... four-armed beast. And
this is Goro from Mortal Kombat, for those not following
along. Nice, yeah. And so it's, what, a Quadrex? How? It must be the Durlin. Help, I have him, sir. Trying to zap him, and he changes into a monkey and says, not such an easy target, huh, officer?
Yeah, monkey power.
Yep.
That's right. And then he turns back to his regular form, and they pull a gun on him and say, stop there, Durlin, or I'll have to fire. Hold, and
Saturn Girl pulls like Cagney and Lacey on him.
Yeah, grabs him from behind, grabs the thing, says, no blasters, please. And then throws him at the other guy, says, and no more delays either. So Saturn Girl says, come on, Legionnaires. And Dreamy says, but we were in Cug. It's like, weren't you saying to not attract attention?
Yeah, it's the whole Batman thing. Don't attract attention. Don't attract attention. Don't attract attention. And what does he do?
I'm going to need to attract some attention.
Exactly. Do as Batman says, not as he does.
And she says, not after this fight we weren't. And she says, I'll be damned if I have to skulk my way back onto Earth anyhow. Cam changes into a polar bear to clear a path. And... he says, but there'll be an army of science police officers here before we can even get out of the spaceport. And they say, well, let's not try to walk out then. And so it's, you know, do we settle in, or do we expect the SPs to be friendlier than to a shape to them and then to a shape changer? Mm-hmm. Brainy says, I believe Saturn Girl was implying that we should leave the port by another means. That cruiser would do nicely. So they check the cruiser to see if there's anyone on it. And she says, let's take it and get lost.
Yep.
And then we cut to the Metropolis in the presidential palace. Failing your scheme to hold most dangerous legionnaires and those who foiled you in past seems to be Universo. And Universo says, perhaps not. If I thought those heroes could not be of use to me, Zermir, I would have killed them. I still think they may serve my purposes. And Zemir points that, yeah, you know, killing Legionnaires, not so easy. So Universal says, true, but after today, my methane-breathing friend, after today, I'm ready. Why, I can't wait until they get here.
Monocle. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So back in space, just above Earth, two SP craft coming in on the coordinate, Brainy, and... he says, I wish I had time to improve the cruiser's engines or its shields, but And they said, well, keep your mind on the controls, not the maybes, Brainy. Here they come. And he says, even without technological improvement, I should be able to outmaneuver a couple of SP pilots. And they take a hit.
Kawam.
Yeah. Stabilizer controls are still holding. It's okay. Brainy, we're burning up. We're coming down. Don't worry. Just hold on. And so Cam reminds him, you know, we don't have a force shield protection, right? You don't even have your damn belt. So they crash. He says, I told you we'd be safe. Let's go. There's a big fwathoom close enough.
Take oh,
a
drink. Yeah.
Drink, please.
And he said, I admit I thought we had more time as they stand by the wreckage of the cruiser. He says, this will make a splendid diversion for the SPs. They'll assume we died. They may not even bother to scan the wreckage. Emra says, they'll check, and before we get to Metropolis, they'll be after us. The whole damn science police, the government, and the rest of Earth. We've been turned into outlaws. And Cam says, listen to what you've said, Saturn Girl. Doesn't that sound familiar? The whole Legion was turned into outlaw fugitives on Earth once. The government going crazy in the process. It can't be a coincidence. And he says, it's the same man behind this whole thing, up to the same deadly tricks. And Brainy says, he's using mind control, and that's simply another type of hypnosis after all. And they all say, Universo.
Yep.
And next, Forgotten Friends. So,
yeah, I actually did some background looking on Universo. It turns out one of his first plans and how he got control over the Earth was by using chemicals in the water supply.
Yeah. So
they lifted that right from his old plan for the first issue here.
Yeah.
Because that was what was controlling the folks on the planet. So, hey.
Nice. Yeah. Well, all
bits and pieces and callbacks to all those old stories.
And it was very reminiscent of the Super Stalag of Space, at least.
Oh, totally.
As well,
totally.
Right? So. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yay!
So there we have it. We'll get to more Universo next week.
Yes, we will.
And, yeah.
The end of the Universo project.
That's right. That's right. And there's still some crazy stuff coming up, so.
Always.
Lots of Baxter goodness. Scotty, it was so good to have you back for the night, man.
Yay, well, Scotty. I was
happy to be able to be available. I say I took the day off because of my birthday buddy there, so yeah. Might as well put it to good use.
Absolutely. Well, glad you could join
us. Spent some of it with us. Yay.
And glad you got to see They Live on a big screen.
True.
That's cool.
What? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wait, that happened?
What?
That would be awesome.
I remember that. What are you talking about? It is a licensed theater, so.
Exactly.
There may have been nice beer one, consumed yeah. during the viewing. Yeah. I didn't even know it existed.
Been. There may have been.
Oh, there were, yes.
Indeed.
I'm finishing off the night with Bailey's and milk, so.
Oh, look at you.
Yummy.
Nice.
Dessert.
Indeed.
Indeed.
All right, then. Let's wrap this up. Comments, as always, welcome to Legion of Substitute Podcasters at gmail.com. You can join in our conversation on our Facebook page at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on the Twitter as LOSP Podcast. In addition to all these things, you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, where you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble. With now, like, Scott's been down there cleaning up the basement of the time bubble, and it's all nice and clean now. So we're going to ride that back to the 21st century.
Shag carpet, baby.
Shag carpet. Oh, yeah. And we will see you all next week.
Shagtastic.